Praise the Lord. We're going to be talking about power today. Power of Pentecost. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Bible says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles that he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John, talking about the Baptist, John the Baptist baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Lord, I thank you that you call us out of darkness into light. I thank you, Lord, that you endue us with power, Lord, to have an impact in the lives around us. Lord, I pray for we who are gathered here this morning, Lord. There are some who have no desire for change. They're looking for a blessing, looking for a little something. Lord, we know that you are that and that you are so much more. Lord, I pray an awakening in our souls this morning, that you would awaken us to a call to impact, a call to live lives of change. Lord, I pray that you would bind every distraction. Lord, help us to hear clearly from you this morning, Lord, that we might be changed for change. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, well, Padres game Monday night. I was listening to an interview, and there's been if you have not known, if you've been living under a rock, there has been great changes in the Padres team this year, and the ownership, the management is making every effort to win now. That is a different thing. In years past, oh, we're growing a farm team. Oh, we're going to be good one day. But this group, in fact, last Sunday, they took on $58.5 million of contracts over the next 4 years just to get a closer. And most of that money didn't even go to him. They want to win now. I heard an interview this week, GM was saying that they are spending eight figures, that is between $10 million and $99 million per year in the red to make a winner now, in the hopes that you and I will get more than free tickets one day and go watch them. They want to establish a winner. They are making change for change. And I believe that is what the Lord is looking for as well. Lord is not just coming around just to come around. The Lord wants to make an impact. We looked last week. In fact, we finished a series last week called The Challenge of Change. And we looked at the resurrection day, and I think we saw more challenge than we saw change. Are you following me? We saw several appearances by the Lord. He appeared to Mary and the women at the tomb. He appeared to Cleopas and Simon, and then he appeared to the apostles. week later, he appeared again to the apostles with Thomas. He appeared to the disciples in Galilee. He appeared to 500. And as we read today, he appeared again to the apostles just prior to his ascension. And as I read this, and I was struck by this preparing for this for the message last week, that there just wasn't a whole lot going on. That he had appeared to all these people, and it did not appear that there was much change. And realistically, there wasn't a whole lot that happened until Pentecost. And Pentecost came with power. Pentecost came with the power of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost came and made a change, and these men became witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. They changed the world. But up until this time, we're not seeing much. Up until this time, we see a poverty of power. Last night, Giants lost to our Padres 10-2. There was no lack of power last night. There was change for change. People were happy. People were yelling. In fact, Teresa and family even went to that game. You get a chance to ask her about it. She slid in a little bit late. Winning now. I think Jesus wants to win now. My question is, are you seeing 10-1 victories in your life? Or are you seeing something more like the other night, 12 innings, losing 0-1, just can't get over the hurdle? Changed for change. I hope you're experiencing it and not experiencing a poverty of power in your life. Amen? We're going to, you got notes there. You're going to see we're going to be mainly in John, a little bit in Acts. But I want to set this up. I want to set up why Jesus had to talk about power coming on Pentecost, just because it wasn't there. Not much happening after the resurrection. We go back to John chapter 20, 21 through 23. Again, Jesus said, "Be peace with you." This is on the night of the resurrection. They are gathered behind locked doors. And he says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." That's a job. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. And you know what? The Lord has that same job. I prayed for a job for somebody this morning. Said, "Been out of work for a little while." Jesus has a job for you. And I'll tell you what, his job has a great retirement program. Can I get a witness on that? And I tell you what, you go to work for our Lord Jesus Christ, you will never suffer for lack, because the Bible says, "I've never seen the righteous begging for bread." Amen? Amen? "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." And then, just jumping ahead, three verses there, John chapter 20, verse 26, a week later, can you say a week?
A week.
A week later, his disciples were in the house again. Doors were locked. And I think Jesus was looking for change. Disciples are gathered in fear. I can get it. I can understand it. I can grab onto that. Jesus has been lied on. He's been arrested. He's been beaten. He's been spit upon. He has been crucified and he has been killed. I can understand that they are afraid. Maybe you have experienced fear in your life. Okay, man, it's a dangerous place out there. The devil is about trying to attack you, attack your loved ones. It can be scary. Can I get a witness on that? But in the midst of that fear, Jesus appears and their fear is turned to joy. Have you experienced that part? Yes. Amen? Yes. See, Jesus appears for change and they are transformed. They receive the Holy Spirit. Their very existence is transformed. They are no longer hopeless. Jesus shows up and now they are hopeful. Amen? I hope you've experienced that in your life. If you haven't, you can experience that today. That The creator of the universe would come right into this room this morning and set you free from a life of futility and fear. And the response of the disciples, I just want you to gather this, that he breathes on them and they receive the Holy Spirit. He says, I am sending you out. As the Father has sent me and I have come down from heaven, I have been born of a virgin, raised by her, raised by my Father, lived a life, skinned my knees, did all this stuff, was arrested, was beaten, was crucified, died and was raised. I'm sending you out in the same way. And he comes back the next week and they have gone nowhere. They have done nothing. They could not even get Thomas to believe. I think Jesus was looking for a little bit more. Can I get a witness on that? They're in the same house doing the same thing. And I think Jesus was disappointed. I think he was looking for more. When he comes to your house, what does he see? Does he see change? Or does he see the same? He's looking for change, folks. Move on to chapter 21. Second time. Actually, third time he appears. He appeared with Thomas. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out, got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Now the first week they did nothing, and the second week, and the third week, they went up to go fishing. It hardly seems like a diligent life. We have a kids' fishing trip in which Mike Henson gets to go fishing for ministry. Amen? I don't think this fishing was ministry. They are heading in the wrong direction. Now, I'm going to give them some slack. Matthew 28, I think they were going because after they met Jesus a second time and after Thomas believes, they remember what was said at the tomb. Matthew chapter 28, 6 and 7, angel speaking says, he's not here, he is risen. Can I get a witness? That is a good word. He says, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he's risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I've told you. So they go to Galilee. I think, man, we're going to have a big old revival. Jesus does appear to 500. We assume that it is in Galilee, or we're not told specifically where it was. And as the disciples go up and they gather with the anticipation of the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are so busy preparing for his appearance, they decide to take a night off and go fishing. And the reward of that night is nothing. They have fished all night. They have caught nothing. They are cold and wet and hungry. And Jesus meets them on the shore and he's sitting there cooking fish. Have you caught anything to eat, my friends? He sees their futility. Sent by the Lord for more than futility, folks. Amen. We are changed for change. Says to Peter, Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Do you truly love me? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. And he said, then feed my lambs. There's supposed to be a change. All the basis I have laid in your life is supposed to be built upon, and you are to be transformed, and you are to be an agent of transformation. And Jesus is just not seeing it. I hope he's seeing it around your house. I hope he's seeing it in your life. I hope you have experienced that change and that you are saying, Lord, use me. Hallelujah, Lord, that you would be mightily revealed in my life. We are supposed to get, to take what we get from God and put it on display. I met Pastor Paul on Tuesday night, Mission Bay. It was like 4:30, something like that, and I am geared up. I got my Bible shirt on, got my Bible. That's the old picture. I've lost a lot of weight since then. Took that yesterday. I'm wearing that shirt, right? And I get out of my car, and we're over there in Mission Bay at this coffee place or something. I'm waiting on Pastor Paul. He's not there yet. And this dude walks up in a little kind of scooter kind of walker kind of thing. And he says, "Can you give me some food?" And I looked him right in the eye, and I said, "No." And he's looking at me, you know, it's like, dude, come on, man. You got the Bible shirt, you got the Bible in your hand. He goes, "I didn't ask for money, you know." I'm like, okay, you know, man, this guy can talk. I said, "Look, man, I don't know you." I said, "I just spent all day giving out food and feeding people. I give food out and I feed people that I know. I know where they come from. I don't know anything about you." He says, "I didn't ask you for money. I got hungry grandkids over there." And he's looking at me like, "You owe me, buddy." He's, "Look, I'm not trying to get over on you. I don't need money. You can come with me and you can come and buy me the food. But my grandkids are hungry and I need some help." Okay. Wow. I mean, you just don't get that. You know what I mean? I crack open, throw him a $20 bill. I said, "I need to go over there. I'm meeting a guy." I said, but guy, I said, "This is Mission Valley, bud. You got nothing going on." I go, "Look, you can panhandle here if you want." He goes, "I'm not panhandling." Whatever. I said, "There's no resources here for you. I mean, this is for rich people here. I don't even come here, man. I just come here because Pastor Paul lives kind of close to here. This is out of my price. This is out of my rent right here." I go, "There's nothing for you here. You want to get, I understand." I go, "Look, dude, you can talk. Most guys in your situation, they can't talk." And we began to have this conversation about where there's resources. Talked about, who were the guys, the homeless guys that used to come around here? Lisa? Was it Lisa? Yeah. I said, "Man, a couple people come to our church and they got hooked up." "With who? With who?" I go, "With the Alpha." He knew a lot of stuff. I said, "Man, St. Vincent, man, this guy." He goes, "Yeah, I was down there. My grandkids got bit by bed bugs." I said, "Man, it's tough. But I'm just saying, man, there's nothing for you right here. I mean, this will get you a dinner, but it's a dead end." We talked. You know what? I had a guy 15 minutes come up, "Hey, man, get a little change." Nah, man. He just roll right on. Just looking for a hit. Anybody that'll pay attention. We're called to make an investment. We're called to make a change. The Lord Jesus Christ has transformed us. And when somebody comes along, you know, and they're just looking for just a little something off of you, you know what? We can go deeper than that. We're changed for change. Amen. Amen? Amen? I got some extra shirts like that if you want to walk around with them. Okay. All right. Finding safety under the radar. You know, I'm struggling with how little victory there was in the Gospels. And I'm staying mainly in John. But there's a lot of failure. I want to talk about Nicodemus. Nicodemus comes at night. Because you know what? There's all kinds of people trying to slide in, get close to the Lord, and come in under the radar. Can I get a witness on that? Maybe you know some people like that. "Oh, man, I'll take a little change, but not too much." There's a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. You know what? I can just stop talking right there. If I'm talking to somebody who's got the miracles of God right there, I'm just saying, what do you need me to do? Can I get a witness on that? Lord Jesus Christ comes near to you. You're going to try and argue with him? You're going to debate with him? I hope you don't. I hope there is a bending of the knee and a Lord, what would you have me to do? How can I shine your light? How can I be an agent of change for you? Jesus says, I tell you the truth, man, you got to make a serious change in your life. He's like, say what? He says, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Now, I'll tell you what, Nicodemus thought he was cruising as he went into that meeting. You know what I'm talking about? Comes in at night. He thought he was going to heaven. He was a Pharisee. He was a religious leader of the day. Of course I am lined up on the Lord. I'm just checking up with you to make sure I'm okay. He says, you ain't even close. You got to be born again. He's going, what? Now, he knows he's from God, and he comes in at night. Why? Because Jesus is a threat to all Nicodemus has going on. Nicodemus is part of the religious structure of the day, and Jesus is off on the side, and Nicodemus starts paying too much time over here. He's going to have to make a sacrifice. Can I get a witness, please? Get too close. Nicodemus gets too close to Jesus. It's a threat. And I want to let you know, you get too close to Jesus today, he's a threat to you as well. Right. He's got a threat to everything that you have going on. Nicodemus wants to get close, but he doesn't want to get too close. Doesn't want to make a change. Now, I don't want to totally throw Nicodemus under the bus. If you read John chapter 7, verses 50 through 52, you will see that indeed Nicodemus speaks up as the Lord is being addressed in the Sanhedrin and says, hey, do we really attack somebody without listening to him first? There is not much of an impact from those statements. Jesus is still lied upon, arrested, beaten down, crucified, killed, and placed in a tomb. Are you tracking with me? Next, we see Nicodemus is at the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is there. I want to read this to you. John chapter 19, verses 38 and 39. Later, Joseph of Arimathea, I want you to remember that name, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, okay? He's a disciple. Never known him in a list. You know, you read the list of the disciples and the apostles, Joseph of Arimathea is not there. But John, the apostle John, calls him a disciple. John should know, amen? He says, he was a disciple, but secretly. You could circle secretly in your Bible if you have it there, but secretly because he feared the Jews. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away, accompanied by Nicodemus. They were flying under the radar. Close, but not too close. Get changed, but not make a change. I think we can relate. Bit of a threat, amen? Joseph of Arimathea. My son, Joey, Joseph, named after Joseph of Arimathea because of the incredible witness. No! Nobody names their kid after Joseph of Arimathea because Joseph of Arimathea was flying under the radar. My son is named after Joseph, the son of Jacob, who was a slave sold into slavery by his brothers, who went into Egypt, worked for Potiphar, and raised to the second highest position in Egypt. My son is named after somebody who made a change. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. So my question for you is, who are you named after? Joseph the son of Jacob, or Joseph the son, or the man from Arimathea? Jesus came for change. I hope you got change going on. I hope you have been changed and are an agent of change.
Amen.
Thank you for that, Paul. Witnesses are coming kind of slow and thin today. Missing Larry today, gentlemen. All right, lame man healed by the Lord. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" You here today, do you want to get well? Everybody wants to be changed, but everybody wants to change. Kind of like taking a pill. Give me a pill. I want to change my diet. Don't want to exercise. Don't want to do anything. I just want to be changed. But I don't want to change. "Sir," the invalid said, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." And Jesus said to him, "Get up, you lame man. 38 years. Get up, pick up your mat and walk." And at once he was cured. He picked up his mat and he walked. I got to think he was skipping. Can I get a witness on that? Some say no to change. This man is walking along with his mat, first time probably in memory, 38 years anyway, and the Pharisees came up and said, "You can't do that." You got people come along you and say, "You can't do that." Tell you what, man, you walk along with your mat, somebody comes up and says, "You can't do that." Say, "Who's going to tell me to stop?" Not this guy. It was the guy who healed me. He told me to carry this thing. Not my fault. Who healed you? I don't remember. Didn't really see him. Changed my life forever and forgot about him as soon as he turned away. I hope that's not a picture of you this morning. I don't know who he was. Jesus found him later. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again." Oh, that he would stop there. "Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. How's that for gratitude? See Jesus coming and turn 180 degrees and go the other direction. I'm going to line up with Jesus' enemies rather than line up on Jesus. There's many of us who want to be changed, but we don't want to change. Paul says there are many who live as enemies of the cross. Jesus says, "Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge him before my Father in heaven." I tell you about Pastor Hong. Pastor Hong, I don't know, a couple years younger than me. Grew up in Saigon, now called Ho Chi Minh City, after the Vietnam War. Gang kid, tough kid, hardcore kid. You had to be hardcore living in Ho Chi Minh City in the midst of a bunch of communists after the war. You know what I'm talking about? And somehow the Lord gets a hold of his soul, and he becomes a member of the underground church, and he is just working it out. And it's called the underground church because if they caught you in church, they would arrest you. And the communists had arrested the leader of the underground church, and he was taken to the hill country, and the hill country was populated by hill people. And the hill people, in a prison there, hill people spoke a different language, ate different food, and they wore like clothing, Pastor Hong said, out of grass. You know, it's kind of, I don't know, it's like something like that, you know, I'm thinking. But I'm not, you know, that's, I don't think that's the right vision we're looking at there, but it was something, right? And this guy, the leader of the underground church, had conveyed the gospel to them just through sign. Now, Hong is just his former gang kid, young kid. He's in Vietnam. He is trying to figure out the gospel, and he has a dream about these people that he'd never seen before. 2 days later, into church come some of the helpers of the leader of the underground church that have come down from the prison that he's been taken to, and they said, "We have to tell you what is happening, that through sign language, our leader has conveyed the message of the gospel to the guards that are all from this other culture that don't even speak Vietnamese. And they have all given their lives to the Lord. And we need somebody that would come and leave their life here and go live in the mountains and teach them about the Lord Jesus Christ." And Hong says, "I had a dream about this 2 days ago. I'm your man." And him and two other guys leave their lives changed to make a change. And the entire culture is converted. Change for change. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right. Let's keep going. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Glimpses of success. Hong is a success. Hong's a dynamite, an awesome man. Look forward to hanging out with him in heaven. There are not many of these successes. Man of the tombs, read about him. Awesome. But he's not in the Gospel of John, so I didn't include him. A woman who made a change. Woman at the well, I love this woman. Read the end of her story, John chapter 4, verses 28 through 30. "Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, 'Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?' They came out of the town and made their way towards him." The woman with a checkered past. 5 husbands she's gone through, and she's living with number 6, not even married. Life has pushed her down and has not letting her up. I can relate. Maybe you can relate. She comes to the well in the heat of the day to gather the water because she doesn't want to face anybody from the town. She is hiding. And there she meets our Lord. And Jesus sees her pain and brings her change. That's what Jesus comes to do, bring change. John 10:10, "I have come that they might have life and have it to the full." This fullness of life includes change. This woman is changed to make a change. She has a change in values. She leaves her jar that was so much. She'd grab that jar and fill it up. She would need it and love it and hate it all the same. She says, "I don't need this jar anymore." She went back to the town to talk to the people, the very people that she was trying to avoid. "Come and see the man. Could it be the Christ? He told me everything I ever did." And there was change as they came out of the town. They listened to the Lord. Said, "Man, this guy, he is the Messiah. He is the Christ." Changed to make a change. There's not many pictures in the gospel, folks. I got another one for you. Talking about a man born blind. "He went along, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' 'Neither this man nor his parents sinned,' said Jesus, 'but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life.'" And he was a platform for glory. I don't know how much pain you got in your life, but I can imagine it's probably pretty significant. I've had a ton in mine. And that pain is a backdrop for the glory of God. Amen. That pain is like a canvas that God would paint his glory on. if you would change. Amen. If you would be changed for change, he would transform you. This man was blind from birth, no hope, in dire straits, no help. Jesus makes some mud and smears it on his eyes and says, go wash it off. He's like, oh, thanks. He washes it off and he comes home seeing. He was healed on the Sabbath day, and the Pharisees come to this man and says, who healed you? He knows. He says, it was Jesus that healed me. They had already decided that whoever acknowledged Jesus being the Christ would be kicked out of the synagogue. They had already acknowledged that there would be a price to pay for change. Who is this guy? Who do you say that he is? Challenged by people that could bring him pain. With a miracle, there is a cost. He was changed. For change, they forced him to choose us or him. Look at us. We got all the money. We got all the stuff. Or him. The guy said, he healed my eyes. It's a pretty easy choice. The man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And they responded to him, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. Threw him out of the church. Threw him out of their community. An outcast. Quite a change. Jesus changes for change. Two pictures of success include Pastor Hong. We call it three. Lisa, you can come up and play. You don't really have to sing. You can't. He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. City Heights qualifies as ends of the earth to them. You read the Gospels, there is not much going on, folks, outside of what Jesus does. Look at the church today. Not an abundance of power. Not an abundance of change. I came to the Lord. I had enough futility in my life. I said, Lord, whatever you want, you can have my life. And he took it, and he has transformed it. He's continued to transform it day after day and year after year. It is hard. But he caused me to see. He healed me. I can't go back. I'm wondering if you sit here this morning and in your heart, you're just going, I so radically want to see change. Lord, I want to be a canvas of glory for you. I want you to grab a paintbrush and just begin making me a work of art, Lord. I'll do whatever you want. But Lord, I want change. I want to be changed and I want to see change. I want to be used by you. I want to experience the power of heaven in my life. I don't want to be regular anymore. Some of you will say no. Salvation is enough. Okay. Heaven is good. But the disciples were transformed into apostles. Peter preached on the day of Pentecost and 3,000 people got saved. You're here this morning. You're here this morning saying, oh man, sign me up. Sign me up. I got signed up on a Sunday night about 23, 24 years ago. My math might not be good. It might have been more like 25. It was on a Sunday night. I said, God's speaking to your heart. He said, oh, yes, he's speaking to my heart. Nobody looking around this building. We're going to be talking about the power of Pentecost. You know what? He just don't throw it out there. You have a souped-up motor in the back and not do anything with it, man. We'll be racing. We'll be running. We'll be hauling. We'll be working. But the Lord is speaking to you right now, and he is saying, my child, time to change. You're here this morning, you're saying, that's me, man. That is me. That is so much me right now. Lord, here I am. I am your child. Change me. Do whatever you want. That's you this morning. I just want you to slide your hand up right here. Right here. I'm serious, man. You're talking to the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, Lord, you send your power. You send your Holy Spirit. You just equip me. I will do whatever you want me to do. Put your hands down. Put your hands down. I'll give you a chance to get out. I'll give you a chance to get out. But if you're real and the Lord's speaking to you right now and you know you can't get out, just slide that hand back up and say, that is me. Whatever you want, Lord, just slide it back up. Here, 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 and here. Up high, up high, up high. Yeah? Really? Really? Think about it. That's you this morning. I want to pray. We're going to sing. I don't know. I don't know if Lisa can still sing. You're here. You say, Lord, whatever it takes, I just want you to just, you put your hand up. God's speaking to you. I just want you to just stand to your feet. Whatever it takes, Lord, I'll stand on my feet for you. More than that. More than that. I'll tell you right now. Now, only if you put your hand up. Only if God's calling you right out of, you don't have to, not everybody needs to stand. There's four people who put their hands up. Maybe the Lord is just all over you like a coach. That's me, that's me. Lord Jesus, right now, Lord. Right now from heaven, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord. Lord, I pray. We got 7 weeks in Pentecost, Lord. These 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 that are standing right now by your Spirit, Lord, I pray. I pray an anointing, Lord. I pray an equipping, Lord. I pray change for change to occur, Lord. I pray supernatural power of heaven, Lord. Pour down, Lord. I pray an anointing, Lord, for each of these, Lord. Each of these, Lord. Each of these, Lord. Not to hold it, but to let it go, to be a servant, Lord, to be mightily used, to be an agent of change, Lord. That you would be glorified in my life, Lord, and I will give you praise all of my days. I will serve you all of my days.